This now is the Jerry Built Lit 104 Oil of Avatar practice test that I shall dictate at 180 words per minute. Ready? For years, industry and government have treated oil sands pollution studies like unwanted party guests. Ignore them and they just might go away. History is full of examples of situations like this where suddenly someone is saying, if we had only listened, like when we had warnings that real estate was overinflated but people kept buying. Or going back some years when the evidence was so clear that smoking caused cancer but people kept smoking anyway. Recent studies have confirmed that the oil sands are in fact a large industrial development that does have an impact on the land and water. University of Alberta scientist David Schindler has documented similar findings that have cut the legs out from under industry's oft-repeated argument that pollution is not caused by operations in the oil sands, but by bitumen that seeps naturally into the watershed. The study found elevated levels of petrochemicals in lakes not fed by rivers, one lake 90 kilometers downwind from the nearest facility. Undoubtedly, there is a cocktail of stuff going out. And once it is out there, it's like trying to get toothpaste back into the tube. It's a real mess to clean up. The world's largest known reservoir of bitumen is found in deposits in the Athabasca region, in Peace River and Cold Lake. A thick, black, tarry substance, bitumen is too heavy to flow or be pumped without being diluted or heated. At 11 degrees centigrade, it is as hard as a hockey puck. It is mixed with the sand and has to be separated before it can be turned into crude oil. Bitumen is extracted from the ground in two ways depending on the depth of the deposit. If it is near the surface, it is scooped up with a big shovel. If it is deeper than that, it is recovered by drilling. Bitumen is closest to the surface in the Athabasca region north of Fort McMurray. In some places, the bitumen is found in large concentrations and can be seen oozing through rock outcroppings. It can seep into rivers, leaving small sheens, making it challenging to determine when contamination is natural and when it is not. When officials from the oil industry argue that it is naturally occurring, that is what they mean. Since 1980, production of Alberta's oil sands has increased from 100,000 barrels per day to well over 1.5 million and is projected to increase to 3.7 million barrels per day by 2025. What we are seeing now is a modern-day gold rush, and there has been a real unwillingness to develop at a pace and scale that protects the environment. Even when industry sees the handwriting on the wall, they will try to delay, and every year they delay, it is several billion more dollars in their pockets. But there is clearly a pollution signal associated with the oil sands that ties together the effects of acid rain, climate warming, and stratospheric ozone depletion on freshwater ecosystems. The Energy Resources Conservation Board, or ERCB, routinely conducts hearings to determine whether an application by an oil company to expand their extraction operation should be approved. The bigger hearings are typically reported on a daily copy basis and generally attract a list of interveners, including wildlife and conservation groups, human rights organizations, and First Nations. However, historically, the ERCB has usually ruled in favor of increased development. One can speculate that is mainly because of two reasons. First, the provincial government relies heavily on the royalties from the sale of oil. And second, a large percentage of the development boom and employment in Alberta is either directly or indirectly connected with the oil industry. In other words, money trumps the environment. At the present time, huge economic and environmental issues revolve around a $6.5 billion mega project called the Northern Gateway Oil Sands Pipeline Project, a 1,170 kilometer pipeline that would deliver crude from the Alberta oil sands to a deep water tanker port in Kitimat, British Columbia, so that the oil can be transported by tankers to markets in Asia. Transporting oil by tankers is not a new idea. At the present time, tankers around the world move millions of tons of oil daily. Without them, most of the world's economy would be powerless. A typical tanker is bigger than two football fields. It takes 145,000 liters of paint to coat it. It has 12 cargo tanks with a capacity of 53 million liters. There is 16 kilometers of piping on the ship. It is an elaborate maze connected to tanks in the hull to load and unload the cargo. Heating coils are used to heat the crude oil so it can be pumped out easily. A 10,000-horsepower diesel engine connected to a mammoth propeller is the tanker's driving force. There is another proposed pipeline that may be equally important to Alberta's economy, and that is the $7 billion pipeline that has become a focal point of Canada and U.S. relations, the proposed XL Keystone Pipeline Project. The intent is to pump oil sands products from Alberta to the U.S. Gulf Coast, i.e. Texas, where the crude can be refined. Some people believe the following. We should upgrade and refine our bitumen locally before it is sold. Only a handful of refineries worldwide can take bitumen, so no matter how much we send down the pipe, we will still get a lesser price for it. If we refine it first, we will have a market at virtually every service station in the world. Let's keep the billions of dollars in jobs and revenue at home where they belong. Actually, the term pipeline in the singular is not quite accurate. In both cases, the pipeline will be twinned. Bitumen is a thick oil product similar to molasses at room temperature. In order to move through a pipeline, bitumen must be diluted. This diluent is usually a natural gas condensate. Once the oil reaches its destination, for example, the West Coast, the diluent is separated and pumped back to Alberta in the second line, thereby enabling a circular flow. Although the twinning of the lines is absolutely essential to be effective, it also doubles the chance of line breakage and spillage, especially where the pipes cross mountains, rivers, valleys, and streams.